Country Church off County Road 109. Forgotten by many and withered by time. And Lord, how them old saints would pray heaven down. If stained glass could talk in church pews, could shout. He was hell-bent and bitter, colder than stone, when he finally hit bottom and walked in alone. But that's where Jesus met him, the biggest sinner. Church pews could shout. Well, that old time religion may not be your thing, but love it or hate it, the truth still remains. A lost man went in, but a saved man came out, and that's why tell you if church pews could shout. He was there every Sunday, the first to arrive, praying and singing with tears in his eyes. Church pews could shout. Well, that old time religion may not be your thing, but love it or hate it, the truth still remains. A lost man went in, but a saved man came out, and that's what they tell you if church pews could shout. There's an old country church off County Road 109, and he's gonna visit just one. Church pews could shout. If stained glass could talk, and church pews could shout. Precious memories, how they linger.
Amen. Stand with us this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 6, the first four verses. We're looking at character. What are you made of? What's your character like? Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Fathers, we think about these words from Matthew, and we're challenged, we're convicted about why we do the things that we do. What motivates us, God, to speak or to share? What is within our hearts that causes us to act and to react the way that we do? What is that drives us, God? What is that motivates us? My prayer is that it would be the Spirit of God. I want to be driven to have a godly character before you. No, we need to be concerned about a reputation, but God, that's not the big deal. That's not the most important thing. What you know about us is the most important thing. God, forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive us and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. I pray that your Spirit is among us today and speaks to us and challenges us today. And just have your way, God, for these next few minutes as we get into your Word and we think about our character and the importance of it. I pray that you have your way with every heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Character and reputation. I don't know that it's a difficult thing for us to understand the difference between the two, but that's kind of what I want to look at today. And what are you made of? What is important to you? What concerns you? If we want to get the definition of each word, a character is basically this: the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So a character, in just everyday language, is character is exactly who you are. That's what a character is. Your character is who you are. Your character is what God knows about you. So what's the difference between a character and a reputation? Well, we kind of all know what a reputation is. Reputation is the beliefs or opinions that are held about someone. So we kind of say that your character is who you are and what God knows about you. Your reputation is what everybody else thinks about you or how they perceive you. Or maybe how you want them to see you or want them to perceive you. Because we have a lot to do with our reputation. So the bottom line is this: what are you most concerned about in your life? Are you most concerned about your character and who you really are? Are we more concerned about what Christ knows about us, what heaven declares about us, what heaven sees within us, or are we more concerned about what people think about us, how they perceive us? Listen, social media has really messed this world up. Not in a good way. I mean, it's changed the world. It's changed how we think and how we feel about other people, how we feel about situations. I know that a character and who we really are, those things are slow to change. Those things are slow. Once we find out who we are and we begin to build on that character is not easily changed. It takes time for that true character, the true you, to change. A reputation can change like that. One post, one tweet, one whatever else you do on there can change how you're perceived and what people think about you in an instant. So how much do we need to be concerned about our character? How much do we need to be concerned about our reputation? That's a fair question. That's what I want to look at today. How important is our character? How important is our reputation? First, let's look at some character seekers. Let's look at some people that really thought about, you know something, the most important thing to me is my character, and I want to seek to have a godly character. Listen to Colossians 3 and 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That is somebody that desires to have a godly character. That's somebody that wants to be sold out to God, wants to be utilized by God, and wants to serve Him, and wants, not really worried about a reputation, but basically concerned about what God knows about me. 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning in verse 7, says this: But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And that's when David was selected to be the next king of Israel. We know that God sent Samuel down to offer a sacrifice, and while he was there, the most important part was he had been sent there to anoint David as the next king. So that was the goal. That was the plan. So even Samuel, when he came in and he saw the family of Jesse, he saw these big, husky, stout men. And he said, one of these sons has to be the next king. If we want to choose a king, what are we going to look for? Well, we want somebody that's got some common sense, amen? Amen. Let's don't get political, Preacher David. Woo! Let's don't go there. I ain't got enough time to go there, but that's not the important thing to do. Here we need to preach Jesus, amen? Amen. Let all the rest of that work. But when he came in there, he's human. He's just like the rest of us. He's human. And he wants to look at these guys. And if you lined up all the sons of Jesse all the way down to little David down here, little David, Scotty, it happened again. It happens a lot, don't it? We don't talk about what we're going to share, but it's funny how all three of us guys will share similar scriptures and things that tie together. You would not pick David. Why? Because if I want somebody to be my king, I want somebody that's strong, somebody that looks like they have some military background, somebody that has a little strategy, somebody that seems to be highly intelligent. I want somebody that kind of knows what it's like to get out there and get in the thick of it. So all of his other sons, the older sons of Jesse, had that appearance. And so when he looked at them and he thought, oh, this guy's got to be him, God said, nope, 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 nope. And he went right down the line. And he got to the point to where he even said, do you not have any more sons? That's what Samuel said. God has said no to all of these boys of yours. Do you not have any more sons? Have we run out? I got one more. The runt of the litter. He's out watching the sheep, David. That's what he does. We'll bring him in here. Who knows? And so obviously when he brought him in and God said, that's him. And then he anointed him as the next king. And then this passage we read of 1 Samuel, that's when God said that. I look on the heart. I look on the character of somebody. I'm not looking at what everybody else sees on the outside. I'm not electing David to be the next king of Israel because he has a good reputation, but because he is a man after my own heart. You see, a character is what God says about you, what he knows about you. What God said about David, wow, could you imagine having God say that about you? You're after my own heart. Wouldn't you love for him to say that about you? That, my friends, is a great character for God to say such a thing. What did God say about Noah? It said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is not just favor, but grace is unmerited favor. So Noah found unmerited favor. He didn't deserve it, but God favored Noah. I want that to be said about me. Abraham, God said it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He was such a faithful man that his life, his true character, was a life of righteousness. And God declared Abraham to be a righteous man before God. I want that to be said about me. Jesus said to Peter, if you'll come and follow me, I'm going to make you to become a fisher of men. That's a character. I want to be called those things, don't you? I want to know that inside I mean something to God. What did he call Gideon? The angel came, spoke to Gideon. He said, What was Gideon doing when the angel showed up and appeared to him? He was hiding. He was literally hiding for his life. Scared to death that he was going to get caught and he was going to get killed. He was hiding. Then the angel showed up and said, hello, thou mighty man of valor. It doesn't really match, does it? But no, what happened is that God actually saw within him, there's courage within you, Gideon, that you don't even see in yourself yet, but I see it. You're going to be bold. You're going to be courageous. You're going to have a great leadership qualities. I'm going to use you to do something great. If you hang on and you trust me and you listen to me and you follow me, that's character. I would love for God to say about me, you're a mighty man of valor. I would love for him to say that. That's character. People that seek to have a godly character, that's when God praises who we are. Not for us to be lifted up within ourselves and allow pride to take over. But I'm going to tell you something. When God pats you on the back and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that speaks to me. So are you a character seeker or are you a reputation seeker? 2 Corinthians 3 and 13. "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished." When Moses went up on the mountain and saw the Shekinah glory of God, when he saw the glory of God, and you know, he said, "I want to see you, God. I want to see all of you." And God said, "Moses, you can't handle seeing me. You're in a natural body. You're going to burn up. You can't, your eyes can't behold me. But God, I just want to see your glory." And he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in a cleft of the rock. I'll tuck you away in this little corner, this little hole right here. I'll tuck you back in there." And he said, "I'm going to come and I'm going to pass by and I'm going to put my hand over you." And he said, "I'm going to pass by. Once I get all the way past, God's got a long arm. Because I'm going to get way over here, and then I'm going to let go. And when I do," he said, "you can see my hinder parts, because that's all you can stand in this natural body. But he said, I'll let you see a little bit of my glory." And so God allowed Moses to do that. Because he was up there in the presence of God. He came down, his face shone, and it was bright. It was so bright that even people would look, and there was this glow about Moses that he started to wear a veil. And the reference to this veil is basically representing the law. We're not going to get into all of that, but the law was fading in the sense that Jesus had come and fulfilled the law. So it's not that the law isn't important. It's not that the law's not good. It's just Jesus had come to fulfill the law. So the law had faded. The schoolmaster had taught us we can't get saved by keeping the law because we're not perfect. Christ came and fulfilled that. So it talks about the glory of the face of Moses fading even though he continued to wear the veil. And it symbolized the fading of the law, the fulfillment of the law by Christ's coming. What I saw out of this and what's important is those that perhaps may seek a reputation, Moses perhaps wanted to keep that veil over his face, and folks think the glory was still there, the shining was still there, even though it had faded or was fading. Moses thought, "Well, man, I want everybody to still see. My face is glowing, but it's starting to fade." You know, as we age, things start to go, right? We got to start doing some work. Keep this thing looking pretty because I got to have a good reputation. I got to be seen. No, ladies, please don't fuss at me. Men, please don't fuss at me over that. But we do worry about our appearance, and that's okay. It's okay. We need to have a good appearance. We need to present ourselves as best we can. But in our heart of hearts, we don't need to be seeking a reputation as much as we need to be seeking a character. What our reputation needs to be is it needs to be a reflection of our character. Well, that kind of brings us down to the next thought. Reputation does reflect character. Now, I want to explain myself here. It's kind of like you've got a tree, the sun's hitting on one side of the tree, and then you're going to have a shadow on the other side of the tree, right? It's not necessarily an exact replica of the tree, but it is somewhat a reflection of the tree. So there is an importance to a reputation compared to character. There is an element of truth in your reputation as it relates to your character. I'm not going to say it's all true, but our reputation is a reflection of some part of our true character. So we can't just go through life and dismiss a reputation that perhaps we might have because it does reflect. Proverbs 22:1 says this, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver or gold." Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 says, Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Honest report here is their reputation. We can't say that we exactly know the heart of every man. God's the only one that can look on the heart and know the true intent of the heart. What can we look and see? When you look at each other, what can we see? I can't see your real character. I can think I know your character because I've been around you a long time, but what I know is what I see. So he said, choose you out these seven men of honest report, which is the reputation, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The first deacons were chosen according to their reputation. So is a reputation then important? Is that what you're saying, preacher? I'm saying yes, a reputation is important to some degree. Because we need to be concerned, obviously, of what people think about us, how they perceive us, and how it relates to our true character. Granted, we know a lot of things can be said about us, and we're going to get into that are not true. But know this, your reputation is based on a certain amount of truth about you and I. The first deacons were chosen. When you get into 1 Timothy, and he starts talking about the qualifications for bishops, which I believe to be basically pastors, preachers, and then talks about deacons following that, he said, choose you out these men of good report that are not this and this and this, but they are this, this, this. Choose out these people and observe their lives. Why do you think that the sacrificial lamb for Passover was put up for 4 days before it was offered as that sacrifice? Why did he say put it up the 10th day and observe that lamb for 4 days until the 14th day until you make that sacrifice? Because I want you to observe it. I want you to look at it and make sure that that Passover lamb is the best you have to offer. Make sure it doesn't have one lazy eye. Make sure it doesn't have an infection. Make sure this, you know, everything's going good with the fleece. Make sure all the hooves are working properly. Make sure it doesn't have an ailment. So observe it according to what you see. So it is important to consider what people see in us. So, yes, we need to be concerned about our reputation. But we don't need to go to the extreme to where we are more concerned about our reputation than we are our character. But our reputation has a bearing on what people think about us, how people perceive us, and also our reputation can be beneficial in developing our character. Now think about this. I don't know that I've really thought about this before, but this week this thought came to me. Our character can be improved by our reputation. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. When we find out truths about ourselves, when we hear about things about ourselves, that it's not just babble, it's not just hearsay, but we identify as truths, that yes, I'm that kind of person, I've done this, I've done that, and we respond to that in a godly and a positive way, it can impact our character. So what we hear about ourselves, how others perceive us, when we get a hold of those thoughts, it can help us and benefit us to enhance our character and become more godly. When Nathan came to David, David knew what he had done, but when he came to him, he said, David, you've murdered somebody. You've had this affair with Bathsheba. David, you've done this and this and this. And all of a sudden, that reality set in. David understood not only that what he knew about himself and within his own heart, but how he was being perceived by those around him. This had great impact on him. And it was the perfect time for the Spirit of God to bring that conviction on him, and he did something about it. It can impact our life. This is a question I thought about too. Are you willing? And this will be your homework assignment for this week, okay? Homework. Does anybody like homework? Amen. Amen. Here's your homework assignment. You find somebody that you trust, that you know will be completely honest with you, and you set them down and you say, how do you see me? You may have to pray about who you ask. Pray about who you ask to do that. You say, why do I want to do that? I think it's helpful. I think it's beneficial for us to see how people perceive us. Not that I'm worried about my reputation as much as if there are things they say to me that I know are true about my life, it brings to light some things and it can help us change those things that need to be changed. That's a tough pill to swallow for somebody to be completely honest with us about how they perceive us and how they see us. But if you're willing to do that, sit down with somebody and say, how do you see me? What are some things about my life? Don't just let them, you know, beat you up and bash you, but what's good about my life? What do you see that perhaps can be seen in a negative light? What do I need to do with my life as you see me to make me of a more godly character? Pray about those things. But knowing our reputation, being aware of how we're perceived, can help our character. And then here's one too that we just, this is beyond us. We can't control our reputation. I know that a reputation can be obviously a reflection of our character. I know to some degree there is an amount of truth there. But at the same time, you know something? A reputation can be developed over one instance, instantly. Most nicknames that are acquired during school years are acquired over one single event. Amen? Amen. Yeah. But they can last a long time. We can't control a reputation. We can't control what people say about us, what people think about us. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, he went out from thence and he came into his own country and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? Now listen to Jesus. And they're thinking, wow, who is this guy? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And here's what they said about Jesus. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended by him. They even called Jesus nothing more than an old carpenter. They thought, who is this guy that's coming in here preaching such amazing things and miracles are being performed? We know who he is. He's an old carpenter boy from Nazareth, and his mom and dad. I love it when people sit around and try to relate who somebody is. You remember old Joe, don't you? Yeah. You know his grandpappy, and you know when we try to tie everybody together, and eventually we realize we're all kin right here in Sevier County. And so, but the reputation is something we can't control. People are going to think what they want to think about you. So don't get hung up worrying so much about what people think about you, especially if you know that it's false. You don't have to defend yourself. If somebody wants to believe a lie about you, you know what? They're just going to choose to believe a lie about you. If we're given opportunity to share our case, to give a comment about who we are, absolutely nothing wrong with defending yourself and standing up for who you are. But know this, the social world that we're in today, it's very easy and quick for somebody to develop an opinion about you or somebody else according to one single isolated event. Naboth was a godly man, loved his family. He had that vineyard there next to the palace. He tried to do his best to serve God and teach his kids to serve God. And because Ahab desired that vineyard, his wife Jezebel developed a lie about him, and he had developed a reputation because she started this lie of being a blasphemer of God. That quick, what'd they do? They accused him of it. They convicted him of it. They killed him because of it. It was a lie. He couldn't control that, but it developed and it cost him his life. Joseph, who spent his entire life serving God, he went through more difficult days than almost anybody in the Bible. I mean, he from 17 years old till adulthood, he suffered because he needed to be where God wanted him to be. And this was the path to get here. And every time he turned around, there was a problem. There was a speed bump. There was a pit that my brothers are going to throw me in. There's a slave traders they're going to sell me to. There's a home that I'm going to be nothing more than a servant in. Then on top of that, the wife of the owner of the home of Potiphar made advances toward Joseph, and Joseph refused them. Joseph being the innocent party, the godly person, the entire situation. So what happened? Because she was mad at him, he then was accused of being a sex offender and found guilty of that and went to prison because of that. How quickly a reputation can be developed, even though it perhaps is a lie and deceitful and not an accurate interpretation of what our character is. So I guess what we're trying to do is trying to find a balance between character and reputation. So that brings us to the last question. What do we do? If a reputation is important to some degree, but a character is most important, what do we do at the end of the day? How do we approach this? We need to care what people think about us. We do. We need to be something we're concerned about. But most importantly, we need to be more concerned about what God knows about us. So we close with this passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For do I persuade men or God? That's the question. Do I persuade men or God? Am I seeking a good reputation from my fellow man, or am I concerned about my relationship with God? Or do I seek to please men? He's asking. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Moses, when he went back to Egypt to be that mouthpiece for God, and he spent that time there, and all the plagues came down, and finally God delivered the people. Not only did Moses have Pharaoh and Egypt in opposition to him, but as the plagues were brought down, his own brothers and sisters began to hate him and despise him. I'm going to tell you something. Moses did not have a good reputation while he was in Egypt, but he didn't quit because he said, the most important thing for me to do is to glorify God and build my character with Jehovah God. Because even though they don't see it, and even though they don't understand it, and they hate me, and they despise me, and I have a terrible reputation with even my fellow men, my brothers and my sisters, what I am doing, I'm doing for them. If Moses hadn't remained faithful, I don't know how many more years it would have been until God would have waited to deliver his people. Yeah, reputation is important. And it's good that we're concerned about what people think about us or how people see us, if it can help us build our character. But most of all, we need to be concerned about our character. Be concerned about a reputation as long as it doesn't affect what my true character is. Love your fellow man. When they lie about you, well, try to forgive, learn to forgive, and understand it's way more important at the end of the day what God knows about me than what people think about me. Because here's where we're going to be. We're going to have to answer one day to God, and we're not going to have to answer to our fellow man. You know what? Not one person on the face of the earth will stand in judgment of you when that day comes. Not one. Because not one person has earned the right to stand and judge me. Only perfect God has earned the right to stand and judge me. If you're saved, then guess what? Your salvation don't even come into question, because that's already a set deal. You know what kind of judgment we're going to have? Those of us that are believers in Jesus, we're going to be a part of a reward ceremony. Like in the Olympics just finished up. You know, people get the medals. They get the gold, silver, and bronze. You're going to receive reward for those things that you did in the body after the moment you got saved. Or we're going to suffer loss of those things that we didn't do. But we're not going to be judged as those in the great white throne judgment for rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ. But at both instances, do you know who will not be standing as judge? Any of us. Nobody's came before us. Nobody's come after us. But Jesus Christ is going to stand judge. Know at the end of the day, the most important thing about us between our character and our reputation is who we are when God looks at us. So here is the last question. How does God see you? Look at your heart right now. Look at the innermost being of who you are. Look at the depth of your soul right now. How does God see you? Stand with me. Father, as we come humbled before you right now, we ask this question, how do you see us, God? It can be scary to open up ourselves, expose ourselves before you, but God, the question must be asked and it must be answered. How do you see us, God? So we ask you today to help us to see ourselves the way you see us. What needs to be changed? What needs to be taken out of our life? What needs to be added into our life, God? What things need to happen for us to have the godly character you desire us to have? And God, as we work on our character, we pray that you will take care of the reputation. We pray that we will be perceived by those around us how we need to be to benefit the kingdom of God. All in all, it's a concern for us to have a right relationship with you. If there's somebody here today that's not saved, they don't even understand this character. They don't understand what it means to have a good character with you. They've never trusted in you. They never opened up their heart and allowed you to come in. But today they feel that conviction, God. I pray you bring them to this old altar. Get us on our face before you, Lord. If there's anybody that's unsaved and the Spirit of God is pleading with them today, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. God, those of us that are saved, I pray that you speak to us today. Tell us what we need to do. Give us direction, give us guidance, and give us, God, the wisdom to obey you and follow you, whatever that choice may be. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.